we're looking at the concept of the fact that we're the vine and Jesus is the branches, and we're to abide in Him. And if we abide in Him, we bear fruit. And we understand that without Him, we can't do anything. So we need His involvement drastically within our lives. Well, this week we've chosen another verse that's from the same passage. And this verse is one that follows. It's in John chapter 15. Why don't you take your Bible and let's just read the whole passage, John chapter 15, 1 to 8. And let's just look and see what Jesus says. And then we want to look and open up one of the concepts that he has and develop that just a little bit. John chapter 15, this is in that night before Jesus is taken and arrested and then goes through the trial and the next day is going to be crucified. And so in this setting, Jesus speaks to his disciples. Just got them, this small group of guys that are around him. And he says these words. Verse 1, chapter 15, the Gospel of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Now, that's a neat passage that we understand. The concept of being a vine and branches and us bearing fruit is a concept that's found in the Scriptures in numerous places. In fact, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, talked about the people that he was preaching to, talked to them about showing fruits of repentance. The concept that people bear fruit, that we're not plants, but we bear things that are like fruit. We produce things within our lives that people can see. And it's kind of sure, kind of clear from the Scriptures that we, in our lives, as we line up with Jesus, as we live in Him, we bear fruit. I mean, when you come into a vineyard and you see these grapes growing, you don't go, "Wow, look at that!" You go, "Oh, that's really nice," because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're bearing fruit. Well, Jesus said that you and I are to bear fruit. In fact, just not fruit. What's this little word here that qualifies it? Much fruit. We're His disciples. That fruit shows that we're His disciples. And by bearing this fruit, the Father in heaven is glorified. So what's a fruit? What's the fruit that you bear? Well, let me just share with you from the New Testament. There are six different passages that show this type of fruit, show us what fruit is. Paul uses that concept, and you probably know some of them. I'd actually like to review these with you. Probably nothing brand new for you, but putting them together in this package is kind of neat to see the fruit that should be part of our life. By the way, I might just mention, those of you who are spiritual parents, as you watch the development of people that you're caring for, one of the things that John talks about when he talks about the development of people as they're growing, he writes to young men and he says, young men are strong. And one of the things about strength that we've noted is they're able to do things. Well, these are the things that they're doing. This is what you look and see them doing. This is how you know strength is taking place. They're developing. They're growing up. And the reason is because they're beginning to bear fruit within their lives. As a plant that you plant doesn't bear fruit immediately. It has to mature. And so it is with people. We mature. And as we mature, this is the fruit that comes forth. So let's look at some of these different fruit that the Scripture talks about. These fruit all come from abiding in Jesus. All right? So from the abiding life, when you abide in Him, this is fruit. This isn't something that you produce. This isn't something that you go, okay, I've got to do this. This is something that happens as you abide in Him. Does that make sense? Just like a vine doesn't have to go, oh, I've got to do this. It just happens. God's made it that way. So it just happens as we abide in Jesus. Now, there's six types of fruit in the New Testament, so we want to look at all these six types and see what they are. Here's the first one. The first one is escorting people to Jesus Christ. Taking people to the Savior. That's one of the fruit that's mentioned in the Scriptures. Paul was writing in the book of Romans, and why don't you turn there with me? It's Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. And in Romans 1:13, Paul is writing, in fact, several of these are going to be in Romans. Now, they mostly come from Paul's pen, these concepts of fruit. But in Romans chapter 1, as Paul's writing this church in Rome that he hadn't seen yet, but that he wants to go see, he says in chapter 1 and verse 13 these words. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. You know what kind of fruit Paul had when he went to places? People came to know Jesus. And that's what he wants to have, this fruit among them as he's going. And so one of the things that happens when we're abiding in Jesus Christ is we're involved in escorting people to the Lord. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's involved in that. You might be a person who just does the first part, and somebody else does a middle part, and somebody else finally brings them into the kingdom. It doesn't really matter who does all that. What matters is that we're involved in this on a regular basis. This is part of lifestyle. And that's something you make yourself do. It's just you know Jesus, and therefore it just sort of happens as you're walking around, you're able to do that. And the Scripture gives us a bunch of different pictures of this concept of evangelism, of sharing the concept of the gospel with people. He talks about, the Scriptures talk about fishermen. You remember Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And in their day, there were several different ways of fishing, and they did all of them. And some of it was individual, where Peter was out with a fishing pole. Remember that? Caught a fish one day. There's another time where they do it as a unit, as a group, and they put out nets and bring them in. You remember Jesus was in a boat one day when the fish hit the nets, and they had to call their other guys to come in and help them bring in. They had such a pull of them. And they sometimes use just the net that they threw out individually. So they're different types, and those relate to the different types of evangelism that there is for us to be involved in. But we should be involved in that. That's one of the fruit of our lives. Witnessing. You know what a witness is? A witness is simply a person who tells what they saw, what they heard, what they experienced. They don't push people for a decision as much as they just share. This is what God's done. This is what God said to us. And the concept of a witness is something that we're all to be involved in. It's one of the things that doesn't happen a lot in the North American church. It's real sad. Because I had Moses Paulus over here one time, and I was talking with Moses, and he said, in his opinion, the church in the States, one of the worst things they do is give a witness about Jesus Christ. They never share their testimony about what God's doing in their life with other people. And he said, your testimony is fabulous. What you have happening in your life all the time is great. And you can share that with people. You share that with coworkers. You share that with anybody. And you can just share very succinctly what God's doing. We're witnesses. And that's our job, to share about what Jesus has done. Another picture that's there is that of an ambassador. And we're ambassadors for the Lord. You don't have an option whether you want to be one or not. You are. It's just a matter of whether you're a very good one or not. Because everywhere you go, you represent Him. And if you are abiding in Jesus, then one of the things that just happens is you act as His ambassador. You just share about Him. It's just part of the nature of our life. And so you're involved in this process of bringing people to the Lord. Probably one of the best figures that I've seen in the Scriptures that I really like a lot is the picture that's given of a farmer. Because in farming, you have several processes in it. And Paul used this in Corinthians when he's talking. He said, and some plant, but then there's others of us that do the watering. You know, you got to water these things. And so some water, some plant, some water I guess some pull weeds. and then some people harvest. But then he finishes up that statement by saying, but God's the one who gives the increase. So it's God who does all this, but he uses people. That's what he's always done. He uses people to be involved in the processes. And so he wants us to be involved in sharing his goodness and his life and having fruit among people, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the first one. You get it? The first one of abiding is that we escort people to the Lord Jesus and we are involved in doing that. Now, again, that can happen in all sorts of ways and all different kinds of scenarios because we can always do the part of planting a seed, a part of watering the situation, and some of us will do harvesting. We need to be alert to that because you might be called on to do that, you know, and it might be you who say to the person, are you ready to come to Jesus Christ? We need to be alert to the Spirit of God's moving in our life, but as we abide in Him, those things will take place. Now, the second thing, there's a second type of fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus. Paul talked about this in Romans 6. Maybe you turn there with me. Romans 6 in chapter 22. In Romans 6:22, Paul writes these words. He's talking about the fact of our redemption by Jesus Christ. How when we were slaves to sin, now we're set free because of Jesus. And he says, now having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, that's a concept we don't think of much, is it? That we're a slave of God? If we've been set free from sin, now we've linked up to the Lord as our master. And it's not a bad setting because he's a good master. And then he says, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So we have fruit to holiness. We have a life where we live a life of uniqueness, a life unto the Lord, a life that's different from a life of people in the world. God's called us to be a holy people. And remember, the root word of holy is what? Different. We're to be people who are different. How different? Well, different. I don't think we're to be people who are obstinate. I think we're to be people who are different. We act a different way. We talk a different way. Our attitude is different. Our life view is different. Our world view is different. Everything is different in our life, and we live a life of holiness. Jesus was praying this same night that he was talking about the vine and the branches. And in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, as he's talking to the Father about his disciples, both the present ones and the ones who would come in the future, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. This is in John chapter 17, verse 15 to 17. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify, and that word means to set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so what God does is he takes his word by his Spirit, and as we are involved in his word, he washes our lives and changes us around. And can I just tell you something? That just happens as the Spirit of God does his work within us. And as you are involved in the word of God, as you're getting into the word of God, the Spirit of God just works that in your life. It's just the process of your life. By abiding in him, you get in his word and your life is just changed. It's not that you have to go turn over a new leaf. Because I found whenever I turned over a new leaf in my life, when other people aren't looking, I sometimes turn it back over. But when you walk with Jesus and you're abiding in him, then your life moves towards holiness. Our default is to be sinful. But as we abide in Jesus, we get changed and we walk a different way. Here's the third one. Paul talks about the fruit of sharing what we have. In the book of Romans, again, chapter 15, in this book, Paul is now talking, he's near the end of the book, and he's talking about an offering. He's been taking up offerings around from the different churches for the purpose of helping Christians in Rome. Christians in Jerusalem who were having a difficult time. And he says in chapter 15 of the book of Romans, starting in verse 27. Well, let me start in verse 26, then you'll see how he's talking about this. Verse 25, I'll go back there. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those in Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty also is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I perform this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way to you by way of Spain. So here Paul says that there is this fruit of giving to other people. That when we are abiding in Jesus Christ, one of the things that the Spirit of God is going to work in us as we're abiding in Jesus is we'll be giving to other people. That'll just be part of our life. We'll give of what we have to others. And here it's talking about material things. We give of what we have. This isn't uncommon in Christianity. In fact, in the first church, right after Peter's preaching in Pentecost, we read about what was taking place among the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45, we read that about the believer. It says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." And so you had the church doing this. Hey, I've got this. You have this need. I'll go take care of this and give you this. And people just gave. Now, this isn't Christian communism. I've heard it called that. And I disagree with that. It's Christian compassion. It's seeing a need and being involved in taking care of that. Because not everybody gave up everything that they had. They didn't become paupers and just give up everything. They met in the house when Peter was arrested. You remember that in Acts chapter 12? Peter's arrested and the church gathers in somebody's house. Well, they hadn't sold their house and given the proceeds of that. They still own their house and people met there. And so it's not that you give up everything that you have, but what you do is you give up and you share with others. And sometimes that means you don't buy stuff for you. And that's okay. You'll find out when you get to heaven, you didn't need that anyway. Because when you get to heaven, you'll find out you didn't need a whole lot of stuff. I mean, we just are we're people who should be involved in giving. But this is going to be one of the fruit that comes out of your life. You just will be giving to others. There's a need, and you'll give. There's another, and you just give. And you're involved in sharing to meet the needs of other people. This is probably the fruit that's the best known, don't you think? The fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes about this battle that takes place. How people can walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. Why don't you turn there with me? It's in the book of Galatians, and it's chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And as the Apostle Paul is talking to the church about their lives and how they're living, he talks about this situation that takes place within our existence where there's a battle happening. And in Galatians chapter 5, let me begin reading in verse 18, or I'll actually start in verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath." You ever run into that one? Maybe you've had that one. You know, I had somebody say to me one time, "I just can't help it. I have a short fuse." And I said, "Nope, you're operating in the flesh. This is one of the works of the flesh. And you can deal with that. The Scripture says we can." So, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So here we have this fruit of the Spirit. And as we abide in Jesus Christ, as we live our life linked up with Him, and see, that's a conscious decision. Look up here a minute. That's a conscious decision. You decide that you're going to link in with Jesus, and you abide in Him. And as you consciously say, Lord, I'm going to abide in You. I'm going to be with You. I'm going to walk with You. And we set our lives, position our lives that way. Because where can you position your lives? Well, you can position your lives to walk against the Lord, right? We understand that, right? I mean, there have been people who have turned their back on the Lord. That could be a position. Let me tell you where most Christians go, though. They position their lives to go to La La Land. They position their lives just to go la 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 la. And they just live in La La Land. Gabriel said, he laughs sometimes. We have songs that go la 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 la. And he said, in our culture, that just means you are in nowhere. And whenever you say it, you're just nowhere. And I said, well, we sort of have it too, but it's kind of interesting musicians choose that phraseology. But they go to nowhere, and they live like God doesn't exist. They live like everything just proceeds along the way it does in the world, and yet we're to link our lives into Jesus, and that's a conscious decision that we make to do on a basis. We're to abide in Him. And when we abide in Him, He provides His power for us. And so many times in our lives, we just go to la-la. Well, the fruit of the Spirit that God gives to us, because we're abiding in Him, is this fruit that has these qualities in Him that are... Well, we'd like people to treat us this way. Wouldn't you like to be treated this way by people? Well, I mean, we want to have people who are long-suffering towards us, don't you? You don't want to have them where they slap you down every time you misstep. You don't want people who are harsh. You want people who are gentle and people who have self-control working with you. And that's how we should be. Now, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard a lot of Christians call it the fruits of the Spirit. But in the original language, it was one. It was the fruit of the Spirit. And the way I understand you have different pieces is a lot like an orange. You know, you cut an orange, and what you find in an orange is you have these different sections that are there. One orange, different sections. One fruit, different sections of the fruit. Different pieces that make up that one fruit. And so this is part of our life. And what happens is when you're abiding in Jesus and the Spirit of God is working in your life and you're walking according to the Spirit of God, then these things just start coming out. And they're fruit. And you don't sit there going, oh, I've got to work up patience. Because I don't know about you, but I have never been able to work up patience. But by God's grace, I've been able to walk in patience. But I can't work it up. I can't work up joy. You ever tried to work up joy? And you can't work it up. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is something that is fleeting. Joy is something that resonates and just part of life. It doesn't mean you don't have bad times, but it means that even in the bad times, God can give you joy in who He is and His goodness. It's hard to work up love. When I was a young guy, I was 18, I went to work in a home for mentally retarded children. And I had to go in every day with a guy named Lance. And Lance and I went in every Sunday to teach a Sunday school class to boys, men, people who were older than we were. They were 30, 40 years old physically, but had the mental capacity. When I was a kid, I thought it was a 2 or 3 year old. Then I became a daddy and I saw it was a 1 year old or less. And these boys couldn't control their body elimination functions. They smell bad. They couldn't communicate with us. We'd sing a song and they'd just join in and they'd go, and that's all they would sing. But they couldn't carry a tune. They couldn't communicate with us. They knew we loved them. We brought them marshmallows. We told them stories about Jesus. We prayed for them individually. And God taught me something. Because I was with them for about 9 months. And I remember the first time we met them, we were taken back just by the smell of the place, and taken back because we didn't know what to do, a little intimidated by the situation. But by the end of the 9 months, Lance and I had a deep love for these boys, and we cared for them very much. I don't know if they're still alive. I pray for them, because they're very special to us, and we learned how to love the unlovely. God birthed that within us, and God will do that. He'll birth all of these as we walk with Him. It comes by abiding in Jesus, walking in the Spirit, and these things begin to happen in our lives. In the book of Colossians, Paul was writing to the Colossian church, and in chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, in verse 10, he says these words. Listen, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, as he's talking about fruit that should take place in our life. In Colossians chapter 1, down in verse 10, Paul says, let me just start in verse 9. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with all knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Being fruitful in every good work. Every good work. What is that? Everything that we do, every good work be blessed. You remember the Lord talked about us being people who give a cup of cold water in His name, who give clothes to people who have need, who go and visit people who are sick, who go and share with, and we just are involved in the hurts and the pains of people in their life. That's one of the things that makes the Christian community different. We go ahead and get involved in it. I was talking to Billy Graham Paulus one day, and he told me of all the social activity that happens in India. India's a big country. India's got a lot of people. 3/4 of all the social work that happens in India is done by the Christian community. And the Christian community makes up officially 2% of their population. And 3/4 of all the stuff that happens because of Christians being involved in the hurts of people's lives. That's doing the work. You remember, it's where Jesus said, we're to do unto others, how? As we would like to have them do to us. I mean, that's the difference of Christianity, where we give of ourselves because we would want people to do that same way to us. And so we give quite a bit. So, these good works. Now, this isn't the only time in the Scriptures we read about good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So, we don't get to heaven by doing good works. We can't be good enough to undo our badness. It takes the sacrifice of Jesus to take away the penalty for our sin. But, after we have met Jesus Christ in salvation, he continues in verse 9, he says, "For we are His," God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus," for what? "Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God has us to be His hands and His feet as we walk in the world to show forth His goodness. And I got to tell you, if you're abiding in Jesus, this comes forth out of your life. But the need is to abide in Jesus, to link in with Him. As you link in with Him, then He will impress your heart when you see things to do things. I remember one time the Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." You know what the good works are? Doing things, helping people, being involved, and glorify your Father in heaven. So here is our task. We're to be involved in doing good things. And here's the last one. The last one I save for the last because it's really an evidence that we are abiding in Him. The writer of Hebrews, as he finishes up his book in the 13th chapter, near the end of it, starts just popping out different commands that he gives to the church. And one of the commands he gives is this one in chapter 13 and verse 15 of the book of Hebrews. He writes these words, "Therefore by Him," that's Jesus Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." This fruit, probably the hardest fruit. It's the sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice is something that you have that cost you something. If you give something and it costs you nothing, it's not a sacrifice. When you give something that costs you something, it's a sacrifice. And the sacrifice of praise to God is this: the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You know when? It comes when you don't feel like it. It comes, this sacrifice is giving praise to God regardless of your settings, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how you're feeling physically, regardless of how you're feeling mentally, regardless of what's going on in your life. You're giving forth a sacrifice of praise to God. Well, that doesn't seem right. I ought to just be able to mope around in my pity. Well, you can mope around in your pity if you want to. But God wants you giving a sacrifice of praise. As you abide in Jesus, what comes forth in people's lives that do that is this sacrifice of praise. Oh yeah, they might get down for a while. We're human. That tends to be our default. But they come back around. They go, oops, that's wrong. They catch themselves. And they then give forth this sacrifice of praise to the Father. Giving praise to God. In all situations. I mean, it's not an unheard thing, right? I mean, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for you. And as we abide in the Lord, we give Him thanks and praise for what He does and His nature and being linked to Him. We live in a world that's hard. Would you agree with that statement? These children out here may not think the world is hard. The older you get, you understand the hardness of the world. The world's hard. But we have a God who loves us, and a God who's with us, and a God who provides for us. We can make it. Well, those are the six sacrifices, or the six fruit, of praise that God wants us to give. And in the Scriptures we read, "By this my Father is glorified." Did you know, as you are producing this fruit in your life gives glory to God. So we abide in Jesus because we can't do it unless we're abiding in Him as a vine in the branch. But as we abide in Him, these types of fruit come forth in us. What I'd like to do is right now, I'd like to pray for you that God would work in you so that as He is accomplishing His task in you, you might be extremely fruitful. Because that's what brings to the Father in heaven a lot of glory. Your fruitfulness. So let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us by your grace and made us part of your family. Thank you that you have attached our lives to Jesus Christ, who's the true vine. And from Him we can gain the sustenance of our lives, the help for our lives, all that we need for our lives. And we thank you that as we're linked into Him, our lives bring forth fruit. By your grace, Lord, we would like to be people who have much fruit. We would like to be people who plant and sow, water, and reap people for the kingdom of God. By your grace, cause that to happen in our lives as we abide in you. We desire to be people who have this wonderful moving of God in our lives so that holiness becomes part of our life, that our desires are changed, our manners are changed, our wants are changed, and we become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, than like the world and society we live in. As we abide in Jesus, Father, would you by your Spirit work in us that our lives might become holy. As we abide in the vine, Lord, we would like to ask that You would work in us so that the things of our world, our possessions, become less important to us. And we use those to help others. Thank You for accomplishing that to where giving just is easy. Would You work in us, Lord, by Your Spirit to change us from the hoarding mentality of our society to the giving and sharing mentality of Your people. As we abide in the vine, as we the vine abide in the branch, Lord, would You work in us to bring forth a change in our character, that the fruit of the Spirit might ooze forth from us, that those qualities that are so appealing that were found in the life of the Lord Jesus might be qualities that are found in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. And Lord, would You work in us so that we would be involved in touching the lives of other people, helping them at the points of their hurt, reaching out to them and doing what You said, just giving them a cup of cold water or clothes or a visit or just being involved in their lives. Because You said if we do it to them, we're actually doing it unto You. And Lord, we confess it's easy in our world to miss those people. But we would like to ask by Your Spirit as we abide that, Lord, You would lead us to the people that You want us to share with. And then, Lord, we'd like to be a people who before You are different, who are lifting up praise to You all the time, who are not blown away by our circumstances and our settings, who are not overcome by the situations we find ourselves in, but instead are people who lift up to You the fruit of our lips, giving praise to You as a sacrifice. Even though we're having a difficult time, we're still praising You, and we ask You, Lord, build that quality in us. We confess we're simply linked into You as a branch into the vine. Would You please do the work and change our lives? For we desire to bear much fruit that the Father might be glorified, that we might truly be seen as Your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.